Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Once again, we have Mr. Grant in front of us. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, talking about something that I don't necessarily think of when I think of estate planning, but I guess it works, and that's the idea of stewardship. And you want to tell us, what is the relationship of stewardship to estate planning this week?
Yeah, it's certainly a part of what I believe falls into estate planning. And specifically, the past couple shows have really been about legacy. And this really ties into that component. So we're going to pull these two concepts together and discuss how does stewardship then, by its definition and by a biblical example, set us up for leaving a strong legacy for generations. Because I always come back to maybe this Proverbs right here, 13:22, which says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous." Mm. And so in order to even have the ability to begin to think generationally, we have to start with what's in our hands today. And that takes us into a conversation about proper and absolute good stewardship. And I really think that there's a lot of churches, I think there's a lot of Christians that use this terminology, stewardship, but we may have very different definitions. And so I wanted to take a moment to look at some scriptures, some concepts about stewardship, because I think it ends up bringing us back to the point of leaving a strong legacy for generations. So it's about the generation mindset that we are trying to produce in the terminology of legacy. And of course, if we think generationally, then that brings us right back to what my profession is, which is estate planning, which is we have to have the current legal tools in order to leave a proper legacy. Mm. But in order to have a proper legacy, we have to then talk about stewardship. So these are building blocks up to really talking about estate planning as a whole again.
Okay.
So in my brain, kind of what you said, you can kind of see the how this could tie in to discussing estate planning and legacy. And that's really what the heart is here today, is to talk about these issues as it relates to stewardship.
Okay, well then, what in your opinion is stewardship? What is stewardship all about?
Yeah, if we go to a very basic level to start with stewardship, so let's take a simple definition of stewardship. Let's look at the Webster's definition of what stewardship is.
Okay.
And I like looking at Webster because my understanding is that he was a born-again Christian, and actually a lot of his definitions came from a very strong biblical base.
Yes.
So I don't like to look at other dictionary definition. So I tend to gravitate towards Webster because there's always some nice link that I can find. And so Webster defines stewardship as the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Mm. So that's I think that's a pretty good starting point with what...
Well, it fits right in with your whole philosophy.
Yeah, that, well, and that too, right?
Yeah.
And so let me read it again. The careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. And so if we look at a biblical definition then, there's a Greek word, and I'm not even going to try to say what the Greek word is because I don't speak Greek. I just look at Greek words, and I kind of follow the map. I love to study it. I love to look at the Greek because it paints a greater picture. And so in looking at the word steward, because that's really where we get the basis of anything from stewardship in the New Testament, and this is a Greek New Testament look, then it's really made up of two Greek words. And it comes from the ultimate meaning is the word steward or stewardship is to be an overseer. Mm. And that aligns really close to what Webster is talking about. And then it moves on in a biblical definition to also mean an economically administrative or distribution position. Hmm. So it's an economic position of administration. Mm-hmm. It's an economic place of distributing things. Mm-hmm. And so the two Greek words that we find in the New Testament are made up of these two things, which is number one, home, and that kind of makes sense, is mm-hmm. that our abode or what is given under our authority, and to parcel out. And it really comes down to specifically in a legal sense to parcel things out that are just and that are due. And so if we look at the heart of God, I think everything really scripturally is built upon his rightness being demonstrated on this earth. And really, that's what righteousness is righteousness is his rightness, whatever God calls right, whatever he calls just, whatever he calls good, then is demonstrated through our life. And we call it right. We call it just. We call it good. That is righteousness. So it's not an act per se. It is an alliance with what God says is truth, an alliance to what God has said is right and just according to his laws and to what he has set up. And by that alliance, then, we have the privilege under the new covenant of having the Holy Spirit in us, who then can manifest those right, good qualities of heaven through our lives. Mm. And so when we come back to stewardship, I really think that that is where this word, the second part of the word stewardship is coming from. The rightness, the accurate representation of what God has done, and combine it with his house. In other words, what we have authority over, because he's given us the authority. He hasn't given us the ownership, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains and all who dwell within it. So we know comfortably that he is still the owner of everything. But it's our position then to be the authoritator over what he has given us into our hands. Mm-hmm. And so that authority plus deeming what is right through his perspective, really those two ideologies make up the term stewardship. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think of that story also Jesus told of the parable of the talents. Is that
yes.
where the master gives them several different people certain amounts of talents and says, now go invest this for me and do well with it. And some succeed and some don't. And God yes. commends them or doesn't like what they did with it, and he rewards them accordingly.
Yeah, funny thing, that's Matthew 25, and you're going to look across the desk right here, and you're going to see Matthew 25 is open.
Yeah.
So yes, we are coming to that exact scripture, but I want to stay in one more pocket here before we get to that discussion, because mm-hmm. I think that is a critical part of this discussion is mm-hmm. how do we view that parable in light of stewardship, which then is going to bring us back to legacy.
One other scriptural I always think, too, of the right back to the Garden of Eden.
Absolutely.
Adam and Eve were told to be, in a sense, stewards of the world, and the resources God gave them, take dominion over the earth. And so it's the principle is throughout the scripture.
100%. And so it started in the very beginning, mm-hmm. and then it has been throughout the Old Testament and leads right into the New Testament of where we find this concept of stewardship. So I want to go just for a moment as we talk about stewardship, because this scripture is going to bring us right back to the beginning. And that is in Hebrews 2, and it starts in verse 6. So Hebrews 2, verse 6 says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visited him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor, and you set him over the works of your hands. You put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that He put all things under him and left nothing that is not under him. Now, this scripture goes on into verse 9 that says, but we see Jesus. So scripture is not talking, the author is not talking about Jesus first. He's talking about man in general first, that God has created us a little lower than the angels, and goes right back to the two places that you talked about, Mark, which is right back to the Garden of Eden, and to where it says in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. And so we understand that we have taken on the image of God. And in that image, then, he has given us this authority and this subjection. He crowned us with glory and with honor. That word glory is positioning, and that word honor means authority. And then he set him over the works of your hands, is what that scripture says. So let's take a look at that word set. And that word set means to appoint or to ordain. And so God gave us glory and honor and then ordained us over the works of God's hands. And I think that's a very powerful view of what our positioning is over the caretaking, over what God has given us to manage and sustain, and what I'm going to come to is to grow and to multiply, is what the Old Testament says, and really what I think the scripture you were talking about earlier with the talents is really leading us to. So we see that we're crowned with glory and honor, and that we have been appointed or ordained. It means to set upright and in an upright position, an active position. So we are to be standing in that authority, and we are to be active in that authority. And so this is one of the things that, as I've been reading through a lot of different articles in preparation of today's discussion, I see that a lot of authors talk about stewardship almost in a passive sense, that we are to manage and watch over what God has given us. So it usually starts with God is the creator, absolutely. So therefore, everything is his, absolutely. And he has given us the power to gain wealth. So in other words, he has given us energy, he's given us strength, he's given us ideas, because we were created in that image. And then I'm not so sure that there's a lot of discussion of how do we then take that and begin to grow it to really fulfill the scripture. And so as we walk into a break, I want to come back to the scripture you talked about, which is Matthew 25. And let's start tying this together with stewardship and leading us into legacy.
Okay, and we are talking with Paul Grant today. And if you'd like to hear more from Paul, I know you have a seminar coming up here pretty soon. Paul, want to tell us about that real quick?
Yeah, that's coming up on October 14th at 6 p.m. That's going to be online only. So you need to go to legacyandfaith.com. And there's a button there for you to register. We'll send out a link to you so that you can join us on our call, on our video call. So again, that's on October 14th at 6 p.m., webinar only. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, and back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. I want to remind you that coming up on October 14th at 6 p.m., we have another estate planning workshop, A Biblical Perspective. So head over to the website, legacyandfaith.com. Sign up. You need the link. There's no cost to attend. It's going to be online only. But head over to legacyandfaith.com and sign up for our October 14th, 6 p.m. workshop. I'm excited to see you there.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Paul Grant today discussing the idea of stewardship, how that applies to estate planning. You were going to get into the parable of the talents.
Yes.
And how we need to invest and be good stewards.
Yeah, that's right. And so really the parable of the talents, I think most of us who are listening may know this story, is that there was an owner and he had three different servants and he gave different portions. And it says, to every man according to his ability. And after he left a certain portion with each person according to their ability, he then went off to a journey. And we know that these three stewards acted in very different manners. Mm-hmm. So first of all, let's take a look at that word ability. That means to have power, specifically miraculous power in the Greek. And it means the strength and ability to work. So here the master left tasks at hand. He left things that each steward was to perform and function in their ability and within their scope of possibility. And there's almost a flavor of in that word that you have to use faith in order to perform what is being asked. So it isn't just your own strength. It isn't just something that you have naturally in you, but rather it is a vision of something that says, this is my expectation. See, I think this was a very good master. He didn't set up his servants to fail. So he didn't just say, hey, here's a couple things to do. I'm out of here. What I would imply from the master is that there were very specific instructions because each one of them went out and according to their perception of the master, they performed in a certain way. So they had, number one, a relationship with the master. Number two, I believe that the master gave them very specific targets and goals in order to play out in this scenario. And we know the story, that there was, 10, 5, and 1, if I'm not mistaken, and if I read properly. Mm-hmm. And each one of these produced something different, and the result was very different. But the one that we focus a lot on is the one who buried their treasure. Now, let's think about that for a moment. Instead of applying the talent that was given to him, the ability to work and create miraculous power is what that Greek word is talking about. So therefore, in order to create that, you have to have a sense of faith and engage in faith in order to produce that type of a result, a miraculous result. Instead, he turned his face to the world. He turned and took what he had and he buried it. So he went back to the earth system of trying to produce instead of focusing on the relationship of the masters. As a matter of fact, in the end, he comes back and says, but I knew you to be a shrewd master. And now, number one, I believe that that is a wrong perception that this person had. So it all started by his self-identity. It all started by his perception of who his master was to him. And so then the result was because he had a skewed perception, he returned to the earth's system in an attempt to perform something. And instead of relying upon what has been put in us with that crown of authority, that crown of honor that we talked about in Hebrews, that would produce the miraculous opportunity in our hands. And so what I see in connection with this are several points that I've talked about as we lead into legacy, is that stewardship is intentionally something that we have a kingdom focus on, is that my hope is that as believers, we have a greater vision for our lives than just to make it through this life, than just to build up a retirement so that I can live comfortably, or that I can leave something to the kids just because. Rather, what is the kingdom vision that you have? And that's been something I've been asking over these past couple shows, is what has God birthed within you to say, this is your kingdom purpose. This is what I want you to take what I've placed inside of you and begin to turn on faith so that a miraculous power and a miraculous result may come from our partnership together. So God has left us in partnership on this earth. He made his grand entrance with Jesus Christ. Now we have been empowered by the Holy Spirit in partnership with him to have a kingdom effect. And that goes back to God's ultimate purpose in Colossians 1:20, which is always to reconcile man unto God. That is God's passion, that we would have a kingdom effect to reconcile people who don't know our Lord and Savior to him and him alone. And he has given us talents and resources that we are to manage and administrate by turning on our faith so that we can have a miraculous result with that partnership mm-hmm. with him. Otherwise, if we act like the other steward who has things just given to him but in low quantities, and we turn to the earth's system only, then the expectation is that we're just going to dig it up and we're going to return whatever we had given instead of being able to have the multiplication and effect of faith. Mm. And so in this, we also know that 2 Corinthians 9:6-7 is those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly, right? But those who are generous shall reap generously. And this is really God's economy at work. And as we practice this and as we have a kingdom focus, it all starts there. What is God's passion? God's passion is to reconcile man to himself, but he needs your partnership with the talents and the gifts. And some of that could be energy, it could be passion, it can be wisdom and ideas. It can also be our money. It can also be what he has put in our hands. For part of me, it's being an attorney. I don't know what your gift and talent is, but there is a kingdom purpose and a kingdom focus that God wants to give you. And that is really the fullness of stewardship, that we begin to turn our thought process to a miraculous reproduction for God's kingdom. And in that type of stewardship, my belief is that then we begin to produce a greater legacy, a legacy that we can begin to pass on. And again, that could be in multiple areas. It does not have to just be about a bank account, an investment account, homes and vehicles. Estate planning should be so much more. It should create a legacy backed up by current laws that create the opportunity for you to pass on what God has entrusted you with, what he has placed under your dominion. And that dominion is your thought life, your energy, and oftentimes it is finances. And we need to take all of those things combined and set up a goal and a vision to build God's kingdom. And by that, we end up having and producing a greater legacy. And by legacy, then, we can then turn that into something that we can hand off generationally that is preserved, protected, and continued. And so I've mentioned before, and I know that listeners, if you've heard other past discussions, I don't believe that it is a biblical mentality to simply say, this person gets my money when I'm done with it. I don't believe that that is a true legacy biblically, and I don't think it's proper stewardship under what we've just looked at through Scripture. So if we come back to the beginning, that stewardship is about that we've been empowered to manage and increase what God has given us supernaturally to build His kingdom. And by building His kingdom, then He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So we will then begin to increase. And it again, that's not just a pocketbook. It can be, but it's not just that. It's in every area of our life. And as we look at legacy and build that up, then we need the legal system of how to properly pass that off. And that's done by estate planning. So estate planning should be a legacy issue. It should not be a money issue. And so as soon as we can begin to turn our attention and our thought process that estate planning is about legacy, but legacy is about stewardship, then I think we have something really special that we can actually give the next generation.
Well, you definitely want people to be active in their stewardship and not casual.
Not just passive. And really passive. That passiveness is, I'm just going to watch over it. I'm not going to engage my faith and actually engage to begin to watch what God can do with it instead of just passively saying, this is mine, and I'm just going to hunker over it.
Okay.
So, absolutely.
Well, you have great insights into all of these subjects, and you have a great online seminar coming up here soon in October. Tell us more about that real quick.
Yep. It's an online discussion about estate planning. The first step in estate planning is to get educated, and that's what we try to do. What are the different types of estate plans that we can implore? So it is a free webinar, but you got to go to legacyandfaith.com to sign up. It's on October 14th at 6 p.m. We would love to see you online.
Legacyandfaith.com for more details on that. Always great stuff. Paul Grant, the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.